Blog Talk Radio.
Baby, now we got in the flesh, we saw baby, blue, but
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smoothstone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S.com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, or so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
Hey, all. This is John Clark in Lexington, Kentucky. I just want to give big ups to the Five Smooth Stones Blog Talk Radio show. Reason being is that I've enjoyed this show. I've enjoyed it from its inception with Brother Seth and Sister Arlene. They have given greater clarity, I guess I would say, to a lot of the scriptures that we always knew were there, but now they have opened up these scriptures so that now I can see things that I just simply had not seen before. And now when I study the Bible, I look at it from an entirely different perspective. And this is actually not just for the Hebrew Israelites or for the Christians. This is just from a scientific standpoint. Anyone can listen to this show and enjoy it as such. Not to mention the fact that Brother Seth brings a lot of humor to it, which makes it very, very down to earth. So big ups to the Five Smooth Stones. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining Five Smooth Stone Radio. This is Brother Seth coming at you for another episode. We are located at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. So kind of under the weather, so to speak. So I just ask y'all to just kind of pray along with me tonight, okay? Pray along with your brother tonight. I'm not 100%. But the information that I share and been sharing for over, I'd say, 20 years almost. Well, I'm not even, my mind, I can't even calculate right now. But ever since, we'll say, around 1990, after the Most High showed me this major revelation, I've been sharing it. I should say major revelations that we call Five Smooth Stones. So many of you know I said this last episode that I prayed in 1988, a very serious prayer, very much on my heart. You know how you pray and then you really pray. But in 1988, your brother Seth prayed. Asked the Most High five questions, and those five questions, the five answers from those questions, is what we call Five Smooth Stones. And believe me, they are smooth. When I say they're smooth, I mean they're irrefutable. It's just, I mean, I know that's a little arrogant when somebody says something is irrefutable, but isn't the Most High's word supposed to be irrefutable? I know it is. I know y'all saying yes. Well, I just believe that when you speak what the Most High says, and then and only then are you irrefutable. Otherwise, you're just somebody else with another doctrine. In And I know we have over 1,000 denominations out there, and everybody's saying they're hearing from the Most High. And I think a lot of people are. I don't think we always have to agree because we're at different levels in our life. But I can tell you this, these topics will transform several areas of your life. It's not, I don't think any one truth transforms every single aspect of your life. You have got to yield each and every thought that you get. And then can you say that your life is controlled by the Most High? And then can you boast that your life is 100% promoting the kingdom? Very few people can say that. So tonight, we're going to be talking about proof of biblical Israelites, proof of biblical black Jews, to be specific. And I want y'all to just watch how the Most High does this. Even though in my strength tonight, I'm very, very weak, I want y'all to just sit back and watch how the word make its way to the stage. See, it don't matter how we feel or what we think about ourselves when we speak. If somebody start talking about, let's just say, for instance, humor. Somebody start talking about humor. You will find yourself laughing. I don't know if that's the best example. Words is what I'm trying to say. Inspires. Words inspires. They energize. They can transform. They can upset you. They can make you happy. They can do many things. And so tonight, we're going to be using words from the Most High, what he has said in the scriptures with regards to the state of his people, the people he started with. And, of course, we know since Christ has come, the Most High is not working with any one people. But he did say in the latter days, according to Romans 11, that he will do a work with natural bloodline Israel. And this show, is specifically talking about that subject. If you don't want to talk about that subject, what the Most High is doing with his natural seed, who his natural seed is, and how it relates very much so to you, to your children, to your family, to your future, to the way you look at the scriptures, to the way you walk with the Most High, which is the most important thing we can talk about, is our relationship with the Most High. I don't promise that this will change every single area of your life. No truth does. You need all of the scriptures to get that. You need every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Most High to be transformed into Christ, so to speak. So you need every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father, according to the Messiah, to truly live. Christ said it this way, man shall live by every word, every truth that proceeded out of the mouth of the Most High. Tonight, I don't have every truth. I just have some truth. But I can assure you that the truth that I share tonight, if you have an open mind, open heart, you will begin to see these truths are not from Brother Seth. He's a flawed man. He can't know these things unless Most High have shared these things. So while I'm weak in my body tonight, in my mind and in my soul, for several things going on with me, this truth, it stands on its own. So I just want to thank you for stopping by tonight and listening to the show. We already got people in the chat room on the phone lines. Again, y'all notice, you should know what the scoop is, and that is, if you have a question, type it in the chat room, and I'll try to get to it. If you have a question or comment tonight, especially tonight, press 1 on your phone. I'll be more than happy to share the time with you, because it is not all about Brother Seth. It has never been all about Brother Seth. Y'all help me as much as I think I help you. many of you callers have called in and dropped and said some things to me. You might think I don't think nothing of it, but I do. I really don't see this having a blog as meaning nothing other than a conversation. I don't think just because somebody got a blog that makes them smarter. That's silly. I'm not that trivial. I know that a blog is just a forum to just speak. And I would love to hear from y'all, just like y'all hear from me. I want what you have. I think many of you are very intelligent, and I thank the Most High for bringing you across my path. I really mean that. Please know that. Some of you have been following the show pretty steadily, and I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I see you and I appreciate it. It may be nothing to you, but it's something to me. Your time spent with me is very, very important. So let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and play one more little song I think that has a very strong meaning, and then we're going to come back and talk about why Israel, why the Israelites, why Brother Seth talk about this, why so many is infatuated, seem like, with this topic. Is it just something else to just do, just to be religious? Why do some people turn it into another religion? Because you can't turn anything into another religion. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some scriptures and talk about just different. I'm going to try to come out of more than one way of proving who these people are, these so-called African-Americans. Who are they? Why are they going through what they're going through? Why are they at the bottom of every aspect of society? Do the Most High just hate us, picking on us? So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. And so, again, you've reached Proof of Biblical Black Jews 101. And like I said, we'll just go ahead and read the description. Like we say every week, using the scriptures mainly, using the scriptures mainly, Brother Seth, who is myself, let me see here, my computer's going crazy. Using the scriptures mainly, but science and common sense, Brother Seth will show beyond a shadow of doubt that the prophecies that's to be on ancient Israel and Israel today of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 fit African Americans more than any other people on the planet, unless they are one of our sister tribes. Because, you know, there was 12 tribes. And when I believe with all my heart, fiber being, that we are one of those 12. And any other people across the planet that lives out the same plight, the prophecies that's been spoken of before, I mean, thousands of years ago, those prophecies are still holding true today. Anybody that's living out those prophecies is nothing more than our brothers and sisters. But for sure, the African American is living out these prophecies. And I went on to type that the questions of why African Americans find themselves at the bottom of society in every area has been answered once and for all. Their fragmented culture as a people is nothing more than Hebrew culture that's been prophesied to happen to real Israel, in parentheses, Israelite, if they're in rebellion. Every major aspect of so-called black culture is fulfilling prophecy. I'm going to say it again. Every major aspect of so-called black culture is fulfilling prophecy. Now, I'm talking about when you see big trends and things that millions of us do every day. I'm not talking about some few black folks go do something real stupid. I'm talking about what the millions of us do all the time. Trends, major trends and traditions, characteristics that we have as a people. All of this, our plight can be found in scriptures. I'm talking about with regards to family, with regards to our sons, with regards to our daughters, with regards to our pastors, with regards even to the people that rule over us.
okay, with regards to our spirituality, every single aspect of our life is nothing more than the fulfillment of prophecy that is to be upon Israel. Simple and plain. Every single aspect. Our behavior is what we're supposed to do when we have forsaken the Most High. Right now, I believe we're going through rebellious or the cursing. I believe it as a nation. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about people.
I'm talking about a nation, not a household. Your household can be blessed. If you fear the Most High and keep His laws, your household will be blessed. But your nation, we're talking about nation. This is nation talk tonight. What your nation will go through, it's like Christ. He had all power. When He walked the earth, He had power enough to not be under stress. However, this same Christ cried, wept, as the Bible says, for His people. So what Brother Seth is simply saying is, very simple. What I'm saying is, your nation, talking to so-called African Americans tonight, and really anybody that's listening, I'm saying that wherever Israel is at, wherever she is at, she is going to be living out the prophecies that's to be upon Israel. And we are living those scriptures out. Now, it's not something wonderful because it's curses. But the Most High said that we would not be able to come together as a people. He said we would be, everybody talk about how black folks can't work together, but yet we can make the oppressors rich. That's biblical. All of these behaviors that we have that we talk so hard about, we so hard on our people with regards to, is nothing more than prophecies. Our young men being locked up, houses being led by women. These things we hope to get into tonight and more. But before I do, let me go ahead and put something on you. Let me put a little song on you. I want y'all to think about the words and just kind of relax tonight. We're going to go real slow. We're going to go slow motion with this. I normally go 100 miles an hour, but tonight I just want us to really sit back and think about the Creator, the Most High, what He have done, why He have done this to Israel, how this is going to change for us, when this is going to change for us. I mean, really, concrete, hardcore, factual scriptures talking about when our plight is going to change. So before I do, I want y'all to check this out. This is about and to the Most High. Just bear with me. I'm queuing this up. Taking its dear time, but we'll keep trying here. So while I'm queuing this up, this is Vicky Yohe. It's called Face to Face. And just to tell you a little bit about this song is very important to me because what it's talking about is when all things have been restored on the planet, and we then begin to walk with the Most High. You know, the scripture says there's going to come, I want y'all to listen to me on this, there is going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And I want y'all to tell me if y'all think I'm spooking out on y'all, because some people think, oh, that's just that hocus pocus stuff, that's spooky stuff. There y'all go again. Some people believe that what they can see, taste, touch, and smell, and money and Wall Street, that's all that there is. There is no supernatural. There is no spirituality. A lot of my white brothers and sisters feel that way. They really think that that's all there is what they can see. What their little minds can understand, that's what's real. Everything else is suspect. We're dreaming. We don't know. We guessing. And that's how they feel. Lots of people feel that way. Hopefully you don't feel that way tonight, but a lot of people feel that way. Folks, let me tell y'all something. Every day we're getting closer to our appointment with death. Every day we are influencing people either to get closer to the Most High or to doubt. I hope you're a part of the people, the solution, the folks that are declaring that the Most High is real and His power is real and that His promises are true. And I know that sometimes you look at the state of the church and they make you almost doubt everything about the Most High because they are such a fickle people. But I'm going to tell y'all something. There is a lot of people out here that's real. There's a lot of people out here that know something, know some stuff that can set you free. So tonight this song I'm going to play is just talking about when we see Him face to face. I play this sometimes, so those of you that's been listening to Five Smooth Stones, I have played this a few times. But I just want y'all to really listen to it tonight and just kind of think about the Most High. And let's just give Him, just let's think about how He feels. You know, when how is it going to feel when we no longer have to fight for our rights and no longer have to fight racism and when we no longer have to, and I mean, we'll probably be dead and be resurrected to reign. Most of us won't even be, I mean, we'll die. But then we'll be resurrected, I believe. So these things that we're talking about is actually going to be when we come back to rule. I don't believe when we die, that's it. I believe when we die, that's just the beginning, to tell you the truth. So I believe that when we pass on to the next life, that we will return. This is according to the scriptures. I don't believe when you die, that's just the end. If that's the case, you know, a lot of what we do don't make sense if that's the case, if we just die. But I like the song that says, if heaven was never promised to me, neither the Most High promised I will live eternally. The song goes on to say, it's been worth just having the Most High in my life. That's how I'm looking at this thing. Even if there was no heaven, even if there was no hell, even if we did die and that was the end, it's been worth it to have hope and live a life where we're optimistic and believing. It, to me, it's worth it. I can't imagine living a life and knowing that, you know, there is no God. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is Andre Crouch put this song out that says, and I'll give you the lyrics, it goes like this. If heaven was never promised to me, and neither God promised we live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life, living in a world of darkness when He brought me to light. In other words, if there was no heaven, it was never promised to me, and neither the Most High promised we lived eternally, Andre Crouch was saying in his song, it's still been worth having Him in my life, living in a world of darkness at one time, and then He brought me to light. I'm not a perfect man. I'm a flawed man. My flesh sometimes get the best of me, and I don't look nothing like no child of the Most High. But even still, I've had those moments where I've had those encounters through my life with this real Elohim, this real being, something that's happened. I'm not talking about emotionalism. Everybody think we always talk about emotionalism when we're talking about the Most High. No. Some of this stuff have absolutely, positively nothing to do. Some of these experiences are spiritual, have nothing to do
with carnality, have nothing to do with, what can I say, nothing to do with, they're just spiritual encounters, encounters with spirits, starting with the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a spirit that speaks to us about the Most High. The Bible says it like this: those of us that have been born again, He has put His Spirit in us that cries, Father, Father, oh Father. It says Abba Father is the exact wording, but Abba just means Father. So the Bible says those of us that have been born again, He has put His Spirit within us. So I'm just crazy enough to believe the Bible, simple and plain. I believe that He has put His Spirit in those of us that seek Him, and that Spirit cries, Abba Father. Even when we're in sin, we're doing things we don't have no business, the Spirit inside of us that has been born again cries out, Oh Father, Oh Father. Even tonight, as I speak to you right now, my spirit is just wanting to please the Most High. I really wanted to be pleased with this show. I wanted to be pleased to our conversation tonight. I don't take these blogs lightly. I think some people like to go on blogs, and maybe I should lighten up a little bit. But I feel like there's a lot going on in our world. And I feel like we don't have time to sit around and talk about things like, I mean, it's okay to talk about the sports. Maybe I should have a blog about sports and lighten up a little bit. But, folks, there is so much that's going on. There are so many tricks being pulled over on the people of the Most High, on the righteous. And I just feel like, why in the world would you spend your time talking about something that don't exist, something that's not real? I don't understand fiction. Some people say, well, you might need to read some books as fiction to kind of lighten up. But I don't understand why in the world would anybody read a book about fiction. Maybe I need to lighten up a little bit, but I'm thinking, if there is a lot I don't know, why in the world would I be spending my time reading, filling my mind with something that's fiction? So anyway, check out this song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to go deep into how we know beyond a shadow of doubt who so-called African Americans are, and why. This is the main thing I want to get over tonight. If I don't get nothing over tonight, is why it's important. Why it's important. Why it have everything to do with you, your children, your children's children, the way you look at yourself. When you look in the mirror, it's going to affect how you see yourself. I'm talking to so-called African American. Now, if you happen to be listening to the show and you're not an African American, and you may be Caucasian, you're from Europe or whatever, and you just feel out of place, you feel like this is not for you, this is vehemently. I vehemently speak to you and say this is definitely for you. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can understand African Americans unless you understand who they really are, because they're not who you think they are. I don't think you can understand the Bible as long as you are looking at the Bible from the people in Israel. Those folks in Israel call themselves the Israelis. As long as you put those people, you are plugging those people into history, you will never, ever understand that book, because those people in the land of Israel is a part of the punishment that the Most High said He would bring upon Israel when He run them out of their land. He goes on to say that He will bring a nation from the north. So you will never, ever understand the book looking at those people as the true chosen people of the Most High, who He started out with. You'll never understand that. They are the punishment. They are who the Most High said He would bring.
how he would bring the strangers into Israel as a punishment. So this revelation tonight, if I don't share nothing else tonight, my goal, I have a few goals for tonight's show. One of them is that you understand why this is important. Even if you don't even agree with me, I would love to, it would be a dream for me to just hear everybody say, well, Brother Seth, even though I don't quite see it the way you see it, I can see how it would be vitally important if it was true what you're saying. If what you're saying is true, oh, my goodness, that changes a lot. That's what I want to accomplish tonight. Because I don't expect everybody to just see the light and believe me, and I don't think it happens like that. But I want you to at least go with me to the point where you can see that if I am sharing truth, that this is going to change the way we look at the Most High. This is going to change the way we look at ourselves. This is going to change how the world look at African Americans. Because if we're behaving because we're fulfilling prophecies, you're going to look at us a certain way than if we just niggas, if we just ignorant, if we just can't get it together, or the most popular belief, if we're just inferior. So to white, my white brothers and sisters or other ethnic groups out there listening, it is vitally important you understand who the true people of the book is in order to understand the Creator and His heart and what He is doing upon the planet. These things are going to affect your family. They're going to affect your children and your children's children, because this revelation, by the time they come up, is going to be household information. So let me do this. Just get a cup of coffee. Tea, something to wet my throat, and I want y'all to listen to Vicky Yohe talk about the main reason we're doing all of this. What is it all about, Brother Seth? Why do you do these shows 4 times a week? What are you really trying to do? You're not making no money. Why do you do this? It's so we can one day see Him face to face. Vicky Yohe is talking about the Most High. It is truly all about Him. And him accepting us is truly all about Him. So as I play this song, just think about the Most High and how it is truly, folks, all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about whether or not somebody thinks we're smart or intelligent or whether or not we get accolades. This song is talking about when we see Him face to face. And when we come back, we're going to dig deep into, again, biblical proof. Proof of biblical black Jews 101. All right, we're going to go there. All right, we're going to talk about scriptures. We're going to talk about archaeology. We're going to talk about genetics in all kind of ways possible of how African Americans, one of the lost tribes of Israel, and not only that, but there's other people that are the other 11 tribes. And proof of that, hardcore proof tonight, folks. I'll be right back. Okay. Okay. I just had to play that. I did it. Maybe it was for me. But anyway, that's what the ultimate is, folks, being able to see the planet restored. Like I said earlier, many of us will be dead by the time that this kingdom is set up on this earth. Many of us will be gone, long gone, and so will our children, and so will probably their children. But according to Scripture, if the Bible is true, do you believe the book that there will be a kingdom that's going to crush all of the kingdoms? The dead in Christ will rise. The dead in Christ will rise. When you die, you do not cease to exist. Your spirit lives on. Your body is the thing that have the expiration. But there is going to come a time that the righteous, those spirits will be given bodies to come back on this planet and to live. This is the teachings of the book. Now, I know when you live by six senses all your life, somebody come along and say what I just said. If, of course, I'm going to sound cuckoo. I know I sound cuckoo. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of things going on this planet that sound cuckoo. If you were just going to go on whether or not some sound cuckoo, we wouldn't be nowhere near the technology we're at today. There's a lot of things that we don't understand, but yet we need them and we use them. Jocelyn, welcome to the chat room, and all the guests, seriously, y'all, welcome. Thank y'all for stopping by, those of you in the chat and on the phones line. Want to thank everybody for stopping by. Again, Five Smooth Stones, like I said earlier, I'm not feeling 100%, but the truth that I share, it's the same. It's the same information, no matter if I feel great or not. It's truth, and the truth is what will make us all free. So, there is a people about 40 million strong in the Americas, well, in the North America. They call themselves black or African American. Who are they and why does it matter? These people have been given various names by various people. The people that have been given most of their names have been people that don't necessarily care for them or don't have a nice or clean history of dealing with these people. So can we trust names that they give us? I would think that nobody in their right mind would trust names that their oppressor gives them. Okay, that's for one. So the question is, who are African Americans? Because they're surely not African Americans. I mean, everybody comes from Africa if you want to just go there. So, I mean, what is our identity for sure? Who are these people? And what about these claims that they are Israelites? What about these claims that they are the true Jews of the Bible? What about these claims that they are fulfilling prophecy? That sound foolish. It sound crazy. Why are people saying that? Well, in the Bible, Deuteronomy 28. Everybody want to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy? Verse 28. Moses is speaking to what is going to come and what is going to be upon the natural biological descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know some of y'all heard me talk about this every Sunday, but you shouldn't come to this blog if you don't want to hear this, because this is what we talk about. Sundays are devoted to showing, without a shadow of doubt, who are the true Jews of the Bible, why it's important, what is the Most High doing with them, and, again, how it relates to you, how it's important. Okay? So that's what we do. And if anybody want to ask questions about this, please simply type your question in the chat room or on the phone line, press 1, and I will give you ample time to share whatever you want. If you think Brother Seth is off, fine. Just press 1, and I'll let you come on. You can share exactly how you think. I don't run from anybody whatsoever. As a matter of fact, next Sunday, the Most High permits, I'm going to have my uncle on. He is
he don't believe in the Bible at all. He thinks the whole Bible is, he got issues with the whole book. He do believe in a higher power, but he don't acknowledge Christ. He don't acknowledge the prophets. And he has a very interesting take. He don't call himself an Egyptologist. And so I'm going to have him on, my uncle on, and y'all going to hear some complete different perspective on everything, believe me. And he's been studying for a while. Some of y'all may be impressed by him. But I'm going to, my efforts in bringing him on is to show you that this truth, it don't matter. We have, like, the whites that call periodically to the show with all of their different takes, and black people that call on the show with all their different takes. We talk with the Egyptologist a little bit. Now we're going to talk with the man that's leaned toward Egyptology, but he talks about lots of other different religions. And I'm just trying to show people that what I'm sharing holds water with anybody. It don't matter who you bring on this show or who I talked to over the last 20 years. This message have held up to Egyptologists. This message have held up to agnostics. This message have held up to atheists. This message have held up to white supremacy. This message have held up because this message is from the Most High, and it is based in truth. Jocelyn said, I feel that Jesus is the black man's greatest asset. And of course he is. Now, we don't say Jesus because there wasn't no J in Hebrew, but I do know who you're talking about. You're talking about Mary's baby. You're talking about the one that opened, the one that walked on water. You're talking about the one that had disciples. You're talking about the one that rose from the dead. We acknowledge that person all day long. But there was no J in the Hebrew language, and so I sometimes say Jesus just so people can know who I'm talking about. But his name was Hebrew, and there was no J in the Hebrew. But I welcome your comment, and feel comfortable saying it around me until you see what we're talking about with the whole Hebrew thing. You're welcome on this show to say Jesus, because I know exactly who you're talking about. And while they went and changed the name from the Hebrew name to Jesus, and they got us all saying Jesus, they did not take away the story, who he was, how his blood washes, and like you say, is the black man's greatest asset. I agree all day long. We need that person. He is the ultimate example of who the Father is, and we're supposed to follow his example in pleasing the Most High. So I'm with you on that, Jocelyn. So that's all we're just trying to do, is just share on this show things that will bring us closer to the Most High. Just like she said, and I think this is a young lady, I think. I could be wrong. Please correct me, Jocelyn, if you're not a female. But she said, I feel that Jesus is the black man's greatest asset. A lot of you Israelites probably say, well, why is she saying Jesus? Because that's the name our foreparents call. And y'all need to have a lot more mercy with that and not feel like you know everything. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our grandmothers don't know nothing about them folks tampering with the J and the Y and all that. They just go with the man in the Old Testament. That's who they're calling on. So, you know, I think the Most High know exactly who we're calling on. And that's why that name to this very day, that's why demons do tremble at the name Jesus, because the Most High know exactly who we're calling on. And that's why demons tremble and, yes, can be even cast out, because the Most High know exactly who we really mean. And we was calling on whatever the Greco-Romans created when they tried to create that J and put the white, these white images all over the world, then, hey, we would be worshiping another Elohim or another God. In other words, I'm going to say it again. If these grandmothers knew that they changed the name from Yahweh Shah or Yahweh Shay, all of the different variations of Yeshua or Yahshua, all these different, I'm not going to get off into the proper, but if these grandmothers knew that they changed the name, and these grandfathers, our grandfathers knew this, and they knew that he was a dark-skinned man, and they knew that the Greco-Romans painted him white and created this image, left the story intact, but created an image and called it, put a J on it, and took away the proper name and made him white,
If our grandmothers knew that, they wouldn't worship it. They would be calling them by its correct name and be imagining this dark-skinned person. So our grandmothers have nothing to do with what the great old Romans did, and some of us Israelites need to understand that. And okay, so Jocelyn, my bad, is a man. I apologize. It just sound. I know a Jocelyn that actually was a woman, but you know what? It wasn't Ja. It was Jocelyn, J-H. So, but I feel you, my brother. I feel you, my brother. And he went on to say, I feel you on that. This is my take, that Jesus, the God, my ancestors, the Jesus that got my ancestors through middle passage and bondage. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know why people say, y'all worshiping a Greco-Roman. No, we not. You can't put that on people because they don't even know that. Now, if you come into that knowledge and you know that what you know, and then you keep saying the name, then you're doing it. But these people have no clue, no idea, and they're talking about Mary's baby, the man that walked the water, the man that had 12 disciples, the man that opened the blind eyes. They calling on the one and true Yahshua. Or Yeshua, or Emmanuel, or Mary's baby. So I'm saying we gotta be gentle with our people on that. But let's talk more about who these people are, who African Americans are, and why they go through, why are we at the bottom of every single society, I mean every aspect of society, really and truly. I know sometimes when you look at the news and you look at our state as a people, and you got to look at it now. Sometimes some of us live in really nice neighborhoods, and we forget. But some of us don't live in neighborhoods, and we see the pain of our people every day. And that's almost, in a way, a blessing because you're more realistic and you see more real because the pain is there. And you can live in these other neighborhoods and never see it and believe it's not as bad, but I'm telling you, the pain is real. There are a lot of our brothers and sisters, again, at the bottom of society in every single aspect. So tonight, we want to look at why that is. Moses said in Deuteronomy 28, verse 46, that certain things will come upon Israel if they obey, and certain things will come upon them if they disobey. The scripture reads like this, verse 28, and chapter 28, verse 46. Moses speaking, he says, he's talking to the real, authentic bloodline Israel. He says, and they shall be upon thee. The they he's talking about is the blessings or these curses that he is reading to them. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, S-I-G-N, sign, S-I-G-N. They shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever. One more time. And they, these blessings and curses, will be upon thee for a sign which identifies you, and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever, forever, forever. 2011 is included in forever. And when you want, if you want to know who a true Jew is or a true Israelite or who the real people of this book, this Bible, who were they, where are they today, you simply look for those specific, unique blessings or specific, unique curses. Israel, wherever she is at, is going to be living out these blessings or these curses. It's just that simple. So when we look at the blessings, when we look at the curses, one of the things we see very clear is that the Bible says in verse 28 and 68, the last verse of Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy is one of the books of the Bible. Some of y'all don't know this, but we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's part of what we call the Torah. So in the Torah, the last book, Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 68, Moses is speaking, and he says, you, of course, this is if they disobey,
you'll be taken back to Egypt and sold as slaves in ships. In ships. He's talking to a nation of people up on the mountain. It's all 12 tribes are there. 12 sects of people. 12 groups of people. Some people estimate that a million people is out there listening to him. We don't know the specific number, but I can tell you this. All of Israel was there. And it was a tradition that this happened, and Moses would speak to them like this. And he's saying to them, he even said in chapter 29, that I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to people that are not even here. I'm not just talking to you, Israel. I'm talking to your children that's not even here. These things are going to be upon them. This is what will befall them if they disobey. And this is the blessing that they will enjoy if they are obedient. So that's what we're talking about tonight, simple and plain. What is Israel supposed to go to? Simple and plain. And I think what I want to do tonight is solicit questions.
What kind of questions y'all have about the things we're talking about? I mean, really and truly, I really am in a mood to answer questions tonight. I want people to pull from me tonight. Don't be shy. I mean, what doubt do you have? I'm sure some of y'all have doubted some things over the years. I love the message, Brother Seth, but here's some things I doubted, or here's some areas I'm not clear on. What do you doubt today about this whole Israelite? Do y'all understand while we talk about it? I'm going to pick on a brother that listens pretty often. I know he's sitting up probably shocked. Hopefully he's alert. But Brother Gabriel, I think this is him, area code 708-903. Area code 708-903. I'm going to open up the line, and I do this every once in a while because I know sometimes when people don't raise their hand, that means they don't want to talk. So he normally has a word, a strong word. So I want to kind of invite him to the conversation, because only because I'm feeling this exchange I need tonight. So, Brother Gabriel, are you there? Is this you at 708-903?
Shalom, shalom.
Did I get it right? Shalom, shalom, my brother.
Yeah.
When you hear the word shalom, this brother greet me shalom. All it means is peace. He could have very well said peace, and I would have said peace back. Or he could have said, assalamu alaikum. So the Hebrews just say shalom. It don't mean you got to say it, or it's not Hebrew. You're Hebrew whether you do it or not. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was doing the show. You know, I ain't really have much to say, you know. But on another level, I was prophesying, and I was... Because I was prophesying, I've been wanting to be a teacher of the word. And, you know, but my studies of the word said bishops should be this, that, and the other, and a non-striker. Right now I don't have a wife, so one wife thing ain't the issue. But I let this woman, which I truly regretted after I did it, I smacked her. You know what I'm coming to tell you. My whole point is I didn't feel good about actually apologizing to the woman, even though she hit me first.
Hold on. Maybe. I really don't want to talk about you smacking a woman, to be honest with you, cause, but you know what? I've learned sometime I can't always get things the way I want it. Maybe we need to talk about it, because I know I've had one of those days where I haven't been in the spirit 100% of the time, and I've done some dumb stuff today. It's one reason I'm so drained, to tell you the truth. So let's go ahead and talk about that. Even though I want to definitely get back on, and we got people that's coming into the chat room, and I'm sure they see the subject, and they're coming for that subject. So we don't want to, you know, straight too far. Let me ask you a question. Why did you bring that up? What make you think? Why do you feel the need to talk about you actually putting your hands on a woman, which you know is totally crazy?
Well, it was like it was a question I wanted to ask, and I'd like to. Basically, I was ashamed of it. Basically, I was telling the truth, so I didn't want to bring around like my friend this, that, and other. So I just told the truth. And
you're not being holier than now.
You said what?
You're not being a holier than now. You know, because us men, we mess up. You don't need us come on these blogs acting like we got all together. I mean, you know, my wife is mad at me about some communication I had with a young lady. I'm sitting up just. I got 1,200 Facebook friends, and sometimes these young ladies, they talking to me and they want to know this and they want to know that, and sometimes I have a tendency to play around a lot. And make the long story short, it was an unhealthy communication I had, and my wife is very upset with me over it right now. So hey, we do that, we blow it, we in the flesh sometimes. So ain't nothing wrong with you coming to the show and sharing something. Long as you understand that you was in the wrong and that's definitely not the way you should treat a woman or anybody. Do you understand that, right? What was your question? Let me ask you that. What was your question? Maybe that's what the question had to do with.
Oh, of course. I know I took the show off topic, so I apologize, but it's been like eating at me since it happened. And basically, I'm trying to be and project a certain thing instead of not just saying one thing and act another way. But instead of doing all the same, practice what you preach, I'm supposed to preach what I practice. So if I practice perfection, I must be practicing perfection. So I feel like the last week or so, I've been off. Especially since I've done that, it's like my reactions on certain situations has like been off. Like I was explaining to somebody, I almost got angry. It actually started with some so-called religious stuff, but it went from there to another thing. She struck me, and he and the moment I struck her back. I mean, basically, I feel like I was wrong because I know you're supposed to know better, so you're supposed to do better. And if I was, so that's one of the main issues. The word said bishops should be a blameless person, one with one wife, a non-striker, and some other things. And I try to stick to the word
Let me ask you this, and I'm in no place to play counsel tonight. I'm telling you, I'm not the one. But did you apologize to her?
Yeah, I apologize. She cussed me out and all that. And, I mean, I said I tried to be the bigger person, even after her cussing me out and saying this, that, and the other. I still try to say whatever. I mean, what I felt was right to say.
Well, let me say this, because again, we're talking about proof of being Israel. But I want to say this because I know some people are Israelites that like to listen to this show, even though they already know we're the true Jews, we're the true people of the book. They like to listen to the show for stuff just like this that pop up on this show. We always get these calls, just like you're doing right now. You've listened, you know, we get these calls all the time with somebody having something on their heart. Only thing I'm going to say this to you, my brother, and it's to everybody, and it goes for sure for me first and everybody else second. First and foremost, Christ came, shed his blood for our past sins, current sins, and any stupid stuff we're going to do in the future. So because you believe in the Messiah and the Father, and you try to live by the word, your sins, and really everyone's sin, is taken care of. Now, that don't mean you go sin. That don't mean you should just take it lightly. If he cleanses us from sin to where, when I say cleanse us from sin, what exactly do I mean? I mean that the Father don't hold this against us. We can now go to him and pray and have a relationship with the Father despite our behavior, because our sin has been covered by the blood of the Most of Christ, the Most High sent of the Son to die for the sins of the world. Israel used to kill bulls and goats and lambs for their sin. Their transgressions was placed upon this bull, a goat, a lamb. And once that thing was slain, Israel was as righteous as the Most High himself. Well, when Christ came and died, having been
lamb or innocent blood, it's almost like a lamb is slain every second, forever. Now, we can see when Israel killed that lamb and bull and goat, Brother Gabriel, that Israel was cleansed from sin right there on the spot. You can see that, right? Do you see that much?
I understand that completely. Well,
No. I want you to hold on, because I'm going with a point. I want you to just say if you understand what I just said or not. Then I want to make my point and I'm gonna bring you back in. But I'm going somewhere with this. You do understand that when Israel slain that goat, that bull, that lamb, that all their sins was taken out on that animal. You understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
No, really. If you don't, just say I don't get it. I mean, you do understand that when. Yeah, when the Most High said to Moses, I'm going to destroy this people unless you offer up sacrifices. And he began to offer up bulls and lambs and goats for the sins of Israel. When that bull was killed, Israel at that second, not one of them, children, men, women, had sin on them. They was as righteous as the Most High. They was as righteous as Moses. They was as righteous as Yah himself. But it's just when they walked away, they began to start sinning again. Well, when Christ came and he shed his blood, he took care of all of the sins forever. So it's like a bull is being offered every second to make sure nobody's sin is seen by the Most High. The Bible says our sins have been blotted out. The Bible says Abraham was a man that the Most High counted his faith as righteousness, and we are of Father Abraham because our faith is what counted. We've been made righteous by our faith, and that faith that we have. Y'all have to bear with me. I'm not giving it 100%. I've talked about this. I did my first four shows was on this. We hit this. Day and night, and I'm trying to shortcut and think of ways to say it fast, and there's no way. You just got to take your time. You can't rush through this. But the bottom line is Christ came to die for the sins of the world. Now sin has been taken care of. We are just as righteous as if a lamb was just slain right now for your sin. That's how righteous you are. So you did something today that you're not proud of. You said you smote, you hit a woman, you slapped your wife. Hopefully it was a peck and wasn't trying to kill her. Okay, that's wrong. That probably upsets everybody that's listening. That's female and some male. Now, what you've got to do you've got to understand that your sins have been wiped away, and you got to say to the Father, Father, I thank you for not holding this against me and making me to be able to come to you and talk to you as a father. Because if you had sin on you and Christ had not have died, you couldn't approach a holy being with such sin on you. You couldn't hope approach a holy being just because you think you can approach the Most High under no circumstance, because even when you are as good as you can be, your righteousness, according to the scripture, is as filthy rags. So you have to have Christ. Be it you smiting a woman, or be it you smiting yourself, or being you thinking some craze or feeling haughty or just jealousy or envy, any of them little sins you can't see, all sin have been taken care of. What does that mean, Brother Seth? Does that mean we can sin? No, because we've been made, our sins have been taken away, we should walk with the Father now. We shouldn't have the guilt. Because our sins have been taken away, and there's a reason why. So we wouldn't be suffering from guilt. We can run to the Father now when we slip, because he no longer is going to kill us like he did Israel when he opened up that earth and swallowed so many. I mean, this is a holy being. And shalom to I Am Epic, who just entered. But I'm just saying, I know this is a lot. We've talked about this forever. Again, this was the first four shows we did. Righteousness by Faith, I think, was the name. So I did a show that says, let me just look here. It says, what shall we see in then? It says righteousness. Hold on. I'm going to tell you the exact name. But I did this show where I deal with this very much in detail. I mean, we go in detail. We bring up the scriptures. And I'm hitting it real fast right now, and it ain't fair to everybody listening.
because some people really want to know about this because they feel guilty about sin and they feel good when they read their Bible and they go to church and they. But you know what? When you're feeling good and you're doing all that stuff, your righteousness is a filthy rag. It don't mean you don't do it. You see, if that's called a consecrated life, when you're reading the scriptures and your mind is renewed and you're praying and you're talking with the Most High and you're treating your neighbor like you would yourself and you're walking the Spirit, that's called living a consecrated life. We're supposed to do that because we've been, our sins is no longer being, the Most High is not, we can approach Him as we are, thanks to Christ. So because of that, we're supposed to live a life free from sin, but if we fall, Brother Gabriel, we definitely have this in place. The name of this teaching we did, my wife and I, Arlene, don't do teachings no more with me because, again, she's in school and she's cramming, but her heart is here. The first show was Righteousness is a Gift, Not of Works. Righteousness is a gift, not of works. Shall we sin then? Because people say, well, if we make righteousness, it's just a gift, then we can just sin, do whatever we want to do. First thing people think. That's why Romans 6 start off with, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because Paul knew people would think like that. So we talk about that. The first 4 weeks straight, we deal with righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. That has been given to us. So anyway, I understand what you're saying, Brother Gabriel. You had this situation with a woman. And I think as long as your heart is sorrowful and you're not going to do it again, you're going to try your best not to do it again, and you're going to, and you've asked her for forgiveness, and you've received the forgiveness that you already been given from the Most High before you even did it, you should go on. I don't think you should say, well, I'm forgiven and so I can do it again. No, you should just say, hey, Most High, not holding this against me, so I'm not going to hold it against myself and I'm going to move on. And that's how we should look at it. I mean, this whole thing about us being Israelite is so much deeper than just Jesus is black. I mean, you know, that's what people think it's all about. You still got to live right. You still got to obey the scriptures. You still got to follow after righteousness. You still got to, when I say righteousness, I'm talking about having faith that the Most High have made us righteous. And again, y'all have to bear with me. I'm very, very tired, and I feel like I'm giving like 30%. There's so much more I want to say on this, but I'm just drained. Brother Gabriel, do you feel what I'm saying to you, though? I mean, honestly.
I got you loud and clear.
It don't give us a life.
Back to the topic. I was watching one of my former favorite pastors today. He's reading Deuteronomy chapter 28. I was waiting on him to get past verse 15. But, of course, he didn't do it. And as we know, those in the knowledge, no man is living in the first 14 verses anyway, or the blessings. No nation is under the blessings right now. If anything,
right.
People are under the curses. So,
a lot of churches try to claim that they're living under the blessings, but you're right. A lot of them are definitely is not living under the blessings. I mean, very few people is. You're right.
And who was it, may I ask? Pastor Meeks, James T. Meeks. You can see him on the Word Network on Sundays at 12 o'clock. But I'm from Chicago where he come on at 12 here, but it'd be on the Word and another channel. But, yeah, I was telling this girl I was courting at one time. I said, he's my favorite preacher, but I understand that he's a false prophet. Because I don't know what a false prophet is now. So I'll give him his credit. He taught me a lot of things, but when he taught, he did more opinionated things instead of words. So you back up with the word, or line upon nine, nine on nine, precept on precept, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. He didn't do that. He was like on the Deuteronomy thing. He only gave part of the truth. I feel like sometimes I could give a better understanding for these people, and I ain't gonna say I know everything, but I'm the word say you study yourself so be approved. And if a person asks you a question, if you can't answer, you're supposed to study and find the answer. So I don't have no problem with that. So I feel like these preachers, they are for the money. And at first, I used to like them because they didn't really ask for money.
No.
Now
hold on. Let's back up. Let's back up. Why you say you're a false preacher? Why you say you're a false preacher?
Because I like the armor, the whole armor of God. He broke down the Ephesians chapter, chapter six. Yeah, he was trying to break it down, but from my understanding, the whole armor of God and what he taught was different. Maybe I'm confused on the whole armor or the total understanding. From my understanding, the whole armor of the Most High.
But hold on, Brother Gabriel. Hold on a second.
I'm sorry.
Why do you think because you disagree with him that make him a false prophet? I'm assuming, is that why you call him a false prophet? Because
no,
what make him a false prophet to you? What make him? What do he do with saying you go? Oh, that's how I know he's a false prophet.
I can't even point it out. It's like I watched certain things now, and I could just break it down. Right now, I can't just bring up. But I stopped watching them because it was something I was feeling. I used to defend them. That's why I learned to defend no man. No matter how perfect,
let me say this, because people are listening to you, and a lot of people might feel like you're a smart brother. And when they hear you say something like, you called his name out, of course, I did ask you for the name, because you sound like you weren't going to give it at first, so I will give you points on that. I asked you what the man's name was, because I know a lot of these ministers, and I thought it was somebody I knew. And but for real, just because people don't know we Israel and they don't acknowledge it and they think we've been smoking on something every time we say it, it don't mean they false prophets. Just because they may not know, hold on. Just because they may not know what the real armor of the Most High is, the armor of God, that don't make them no false prophet. The Bible says anyone that believes that Christ did not come in the flesh, this is the spirit of Antichrist. Anyone that believes that Christ did not come in the flesh, this is the spirit of Antichrist. One more time. Anyone that believes that Christ did not come in the flesh, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So I say about the Creflo Dolls of the world, I say about the Kenneth Copelands of the world and any other ministers that I have beef with, I say they're in error. Some of them I would say I believe is a false prophet, but I'll only say that if they I know they don't believe it. I really, to be honest with you, I don't even say that no more, so I take that back. I actually don't say people are false prophets no more. I don't say that because only the Most High know who's real and who's not. I mean, some of these people are just greedy. They just businessmen that should have been a businessman. They wound up pastoring, and they just got game. That's all there is to it. I mean, look at us. We may not have a big old church and all that, but do some of us got game? us got as much game as some of these pastors we talking about, and that's the truth. I know what I'm talking about. Some of these Israelites is just as sneaky and tricky and you know, look, how do your wife feel about you right now? I mean, your girl, the one you slapped, the one you hit today, she probably feel like you just as fake as they come. So all I'm trying to say is, and I don't think you are at all, because we talking, I know you love the Most High, and I know you're trying to keep his word, but you hit your woman. Now me, I had an inappropriate conversation with a young lady, and, you know, we weren't talking about sex or nothing like that, but my wife thought I was a little too flirtatious, and I was.
Sometimes I like hearing compliments. I like to hear different things. We get in the flesh. Okay, so what that mean? We just phony? I mean, we messed up, and so did they mess up. The Creflos of the world mess up. They greedy. They won't. A lot of them saying, God wants you rich. You know, God wants you millionaires and all that, and they won't think everybody, I mean, everybody's supposed to have a Cadillac. I mean, okay. All right, they're greedy, all right, and we mess up. So what I'm trying to say is, man, be very careful, Brother Gavi. I can't tell you what to do. You're a grown man and you're a spiritual man. You probably know more than I know in a lot of areas, but I promise you, in this one particular tiny area, be very careful calling people false. A lot of our white ministers, you know, a lot of them, they is just racist, but they have reasons. If you ask them and set them, why don't you tell the truth about black people? They have natural feelings. They are jealous of black people. They have natural, normal feelings, and there's a reason behind why they're acting the way they're acting. A lot of them do love the Most High. I know that sounds hard to believe. And a lot of them love black folks. They just do it in a warped way. They just don't know how to talk to black folks, don't know how to act around black folks. They just, that white supremacy chokes them, and they just sound real strange when they go around black people. Look, you know, I had a guy one time, our family came to the swimming pool, and one of my little cousins went to run, and he started talking about her athletic abilities, and one of my cousins checked him. Because he just went too far with it. They see black folks and they think that's what we all good for. We regular people. We can't have because our little cousin fast, and that's just because she run fast on me, she can't tell you what to do in the marketplace or tell you what to do in the business world or run a hospital. Just because somebody athletically stronger than your kids don't mean anything, you know, but a lot of our white brothers and sisters, they just ignorant. A lot of our black brothers and sisters, so-called black, they're just ignorant. Some of these people in the pulpit, and they call themselves ministers, and they ignorant. But you can't call them no false prophet. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to read a scripture for you. First Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially day of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. My whole point, from my awakening, I ain't saying the man is a total false prophet, like he don't believe in the Messiah and all those things. And I ain't saying because he ain't read the curses in Deuteronomy or focus mostly on the New Testament. It's what he preached. I learned if you don't give a couple of scriptures, how you going to have an hour plus sermon? That's impossible because if you got two scriptures, you got to have backup for those two scriptures. Other than that, I'm twisting it. You adding to and taking from the word. That's why I call him a false prophet. I'm not saying the man is, supposedly he's done a lot of good things, like even Farrakhan, supposedly does some good things, but he's dead. I'm gonna put a stamp of approval on him as a false prophet, not only because of Islam, but he's taking his people not only away from Islam. He's teaching them what was that? I can't remember that guy's name. That Scientology stuff. He's teaching them to start practicing that. So that's a false prophet.
You know what I'm saying? The Bible says when a person don't believe that Christ come in the flesh. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the only thing I know of that would say you're a false prophet or you're Antichrist. I mean, some people just got stuff wrong, man. I know I had it wrong. I'm not even tell you, I'm embarrassed to tell you how I used to believe about prosperity. Totally off. Now, somebody could have came and said, you're a false prophet or you're a false person. I'm just saying we got to be very careful, man. I try not to even talk like that. What I do is just try to share the truth and say, listen, minister so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, what do you think about this verse right here? Well, brother, let's look at it.
And I let them say what they think the scriptures say. I don't even like telling what the scriptures say. And I let them, and I say, well, what do you have to say about what you just read? Well, it looks like we Israel. I let them say it. I don't say it. I let them say it. And I say, well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, I let them say, well, we can't teach us. And I say, well, why not if it's true? I let them hang them on selves. I mean, I let them see that they're not teaching the truth by me sharing the truth. I'm just saying we waste a whole lot of time, I think. We mess up a whole lot of relationships telling people you ain't real, you phony. And you said out of your own mouth, this brother helped you see the light in a lot of areas. So, I mean, I just would be careful. A lot of people teaching error. And let me ask you another way. Let's do this another way. I'm gonna ask you another way. What are they? Okay, let me ask you this another way. How do the spirit of error look? If they don't have a spirit of error, are they in error? How do error look? And you know how they say in the Bible talks about such as they have a spirit of error, which means they're just teaching wrong doctrine. If you say, no, they false prophets, if that's what you say, you won't say they in error. You just say they false prophets. Okay, I'm asking you, well, how does one look when they just simply is not a false prophet, but they are in error?
Well, I could say either or. You could be, depending on the, like you said, the eye of the beholder. Well, I'm going to say how I think he was trying to say. In the eye of the beholder, I could say he might be a false prophet. But maybe I'm looking at it from my perspective. From my perspective, I seeked out the truth. That's one thing. Raised as a Christian, to following some Muslim understanding, to rejecting all that, to picking up the truth and going back to my original roots. So, and I'm only 35. This man said he's been in the ministry since about 30-some years. I know when the Most High, a 1,000 years is only, 50 years is like an hour or something, or 2 hours, I forget. But long story short, so his time don't make him. But I'm saying, if you supposed to be true and seek him, and you read the book every day, and you, basically, if I read the same scripture, I don't need to read the book every day, because I can quote him almost from memory. I hate to quote him from memory because I may have a little off, change the meaning, and people get misunderstood. So I like to read it word for word. But this is like I said, I'm probably come with high aspect out of myself. If I'm a leader of people, I got to be a righteous leader. I can't give him half truth, so that's why I say he's a false prophet. He give you half the truth. Half the truth. Like the people that teach the tithing law, which I learned, it was out of order. Charity is still in effect, but the so-called 10%, you don't have to get 10%. Because like the Creflo Dollars, he tell people you should tithe out of your food stamps. That's total foolishness. That's people expecting to get rich. And is it either David or his son Solomon? He said he didn't want to be rich nor poor. I forgot the reason for rich, but I know he said he didn't want to be poor so he don't have to steal. I need to find the scripture so I can edify people better when I speak on it. But, yeah, that's where a lot of preachers get at. And they make you feel guilty when you don't tithe or give to them. If you can't give, you can't give. Like the church my mom
to go. Well, hold on. We're kind of getting off just a little bit. All I'm saying is this.
That's why I was trying to
It's okay, but what I'm saying is this. I've learned that it's just good not to judge people. I mean, people say, well, judge their fruit. But even judging their fruit, sometimes you don't even know what all their fruit is. People say all the time, the Bible says don't judge not, but we can judge their fruit. Yeah, but do you really even know what you're looking at when you're looking at fruit in people's lives? So I just try to, like I say, you're going to have a lot of trouble if you go around saying this person is false. I mean, I used to do it a lot. I mean, I can't, so there's a lot of ministers to this day I can't stand them. It's a whole long list of them. But there's most of them, hundreds and if not thousands, that I do like. All I'm saying, Brother Gabriel, be very, very careful. These people might be preaching
what they know to be true, and the Most High is going to honor their heart, even though their head is wrong as two left shoes. You got to be very, very careful. These people could be, the Bible says like this, the Bible says it like this, touch not mine anointing. Touch not mine anointing and do my prophets no harm. Touch not mine anointing and do my prophet no harm. When you speak against some of these people you're talking about, you are literally speaking against their character. And somebody can be listening to you and go, well, I know that Bishop Meeks or whatever you said his name was. I know him. I ain't going to this church because this brother was on Blog Talk. And see, when you speak against somebody's character, it's not right because you're ruining that person's character. Like somebody might say take what I said earlier that I did wrong, and they smear it. I only talk about that, but they don't talk about the good that I do. That's wrong. So when I start doing good, they still thinking I'm going to be doing something crazy. All I'm saying is just be careful, man. I don't know why we're going this way on this show. I don't know why we're talking about this so long, but maybe it's something we need to just address. All I'm saying to you, and I'm not no big brother, I'm not no leader, I'm not your teacher, I'm just saying I've learned in my own personal life, don't even speak against Creflo then. I mean, yes, I said a little something earlier, but I mean, normally I don't even like mentioning I'll mention his name because he I feel like he's doing some disservices to our people with regards to this prosperity message. I do think there is a prosperity that's of the Most High, and then there's another prosperity that added sorrow, as the Bible say. And so I'm just saying to you, be very careful, man. That's all. Just be very careful. Some of these people are the Lord's anointed. They're the Most High's anointed. He uses them. You know, Jake's, you know, I think he's a little opportunist. But Jake's, Bishop Jake's is doing a lot to help some people, man. These people are really changing lives with their messages, some of them. And you got to be very careful. They might not know this, you know. They might not know that, you know. But they know some stuff. And the Most High is not done, may not be done with them. Anybody feeling what I'm saying in the chat room? I see a lot of y'all just listening. Y'all feeling what Brother Gabriel is saying? I mean, this is one of those shows that go one way and end up going another. But, maybe I think we probably supposed to stay here.
Brother Seth.
Yes.
Question. As Israelites, well, the prophets, what were the prophets told to do? They were told to prophesy against those in error. So when you so-called judge a person or don't judge, how are you going to prophesy against them or teach them to wear their error? Because you should bash nobody, what you should attack is the wicked spirit, because the wicked spirit is leading them, or they allow them to lead them. Because if you fall for lack of knowledge or rejecting knowledge, if you reject the knowledge, you're falling from it. And by that way, basically, I feel like this. This is why I do a lot of what I do. I know I'm a human being just like everybody else. But when error is there, and if you don't, from my understanding, maybe I mixed this up with philosophy or the word, I think from the word, but when you see someone doing wrong and you don't, say if not somebody with a gun and shoot somebody, but if you see somebody in error, especially amongst your family or your friends or so-called friends, and you allow them to do wrong, you're in error. If you don't speak on it or put correction on it, because the word say, a rebuke from a friend is better than a kiss from the enemy. So I feel like I might as well, if I don't teach them right, I am their enemy by nature of not giving them rebuke when they're wrong and reproving them when they're right. Maybe I said it wrong, but when they, you know, they're walking in the way. When you walk in the way, I forget what you said. Basically, pat them on their back, more or less. You know what I'm saying? But when they're wrong, you got to rebuke them. Other than that, you're not their friend. You are their enemy. You like the devil. You smooth talking them. And I don't even like speaking their name, but those guys, they leading these people in error. So they may have broke people's spirits up, but but they brought them up in the wrong way. What they needed to do, I don't even want to speak on, I'm sorry, I'm turning the 101 black Jews into a whole different subject, and politely asked to be took it off because it may be 20 minutes later we'll be talking about the non-101 black Jews of the Bible. So I ain't trying to be disrespectful or get off, but I prefer to not dominate the conversation. At least it should be on the topic as much as possible.
Well, it's proof of biblical black Jews 101. And you know what, tonight, brother, hey, you know what? You called on the show. You said that you and your wife had an altercation. You end up hitting her, and I don't know how bad that was, but obviously she ain't dead and nothing like that. But we don't advocate no kind of violence whatsoever, any form of it. So you came in, you confessed that, and you told her you were sorry, and you know you made it right with her. You said that earlier, and I had a little situation, that's kind of why I'm really drained, to tell you the truth, where I just, you know, misunderstand with me and my wife, and I don't know why that happened, but like I said, I have 1,200 friends on Facebook, and lots of them are, most of them are men, but a lot of them are women, and I have a friend of mine in South Africa, and I've been talking to her, and she's a very nice-looking lady, and my wife kind of got a hold of the comments and read them and felt like they was inappropriate. If you read them, I read them out loud. Y'all probably wouldn't think nothing of it. It wasn't unsexual, but she just felt like, as a married man, I probably shouldn't have been saying some of the things I was saying. I was paying compliments to her and everything. She believes in multiple husbands, multiple wives. She was asking me my opinion on it. I said that I don't think a man should be sharing you. You're a beautiful woman. How can a man share you? That was inappropriate. You know, as a married man, I shouldn't have been saying that. And my wife is pissed off right now, this very second. So when you call in, I just felt like, you know, well, we both said some dumb things, did some dumb things with our family. Maybe sometimes people need to hear this side of us. They hear you, Brother Gabriel, come on this show, and you are sharing all kind of stuff from week to week. They hear you. They hear you comment, and they hear me for sure. So maybe today was a day where they need to hear that we are blowing it up. We're dropping the ball. We're fleshing out. And maybe they feel like we're a lot like them when they see that. I don't know. But I think you was on time. I think we was probably supposed to talk about this. Only thing I see is that we do better. We do better. We make sure these things don't happen again. And if for some crazy, weird reason they do, we better make it right with our wives, and we better for sure accept the forgiveness that's already out there, because we've been forgiven before we even do something. That don't mean they get – some people think, well, that gives you a license to do it. No, it don't. Not to me. The Most High made this. He did this through Christ, taking away sins from the world. All people, past, present, and future, all people, all sins have been taken care of. We no longer need priests to go into the Holy of Holies on our behalf. We can get on our knees, or even while we're driving in the road, and just begin to enter into the Holy of Holies. That's what the woman was singing about on the song earlier. You know, we can now go face to face to our Elohim, our God, and say, Father, I thank you. I worship you. I praise you. I just want you to know I thank you for my life, my children, and We can say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. We can have a relationship. He can talk back to us through the Spirit, which is very real. A lot of people don't believe in that, but thank God there is, thank the Most High, there are many people that do believe in it. And so this is all we have, my brother. We're going to slip, and we're going to get up. We're going to slip, and we'll get up. I'm not done doing dumb stuff. I hope I never do another dumb thing in my life. But probably I'm going to do a whole lot more dumb stuff. But before I even do one dumb thing, and before you even do one thing, the Most High have already taken care of that. We're already forgiven. We just have to accept that. And when we accept the forgiveness, we quit walking around with this guilt, because the guilt is what drives us away. honest relationship with the Father. The guilt would eat any relationship up, even earth relationships. Earthly fathers and their sons, earthly mothers and their daughters can't get along when there's guilt. This guilt is what Christ came to take away. Our sins is blotted out, man, I'm telling you. And when we do sin, we're going to pay for those sins. When you sow, you're going to reap problems. If you go rob a bank, you can lose your life. If you curse somebody else, you probably get slapped. If you sin, you're going to pay. But we're talking about the Most High. The Most High, you can always approach him the way you are. The way you are. You know, we just have to have faith when we go before him that he hears us. The Bible says it like this. He that cometh to the Most High must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And y'all have to forgive me for not quoting scriptures, but some of these are biblical basics, 101 simple scriptures. Again, it says, he that cometh to the Most High must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It goes on to say that if you have doubt, you are not to think that you're going to receive anything from the Most High if you have doubt. So the Messiah came to take away our sins, to die, and for our sins. And the Father all planned this for us, that our sins be taken away from us and him. So now we don't sin no longer stop us from talking to the Most High. But if we commit sin, we are going to suffer. Whatever, it's a universal law. It's just a law. It's like if you throw a pencil up, the law says it's going to come down. Well, if you commit sin, you're going to pay. Just because if you go out and get a girl pregnant, you can't say, well, the Father, you don't forgave me for my sins, she ain't going to get pregnant. No, you've tapped into a universal biological law. You spread your seed inside of a woman, she's going to probably get pregnant, and a baby's going to come in 9 months. That just because the Most High will now allow you to talk to him with that sin on you and he not hold that against you, that don't mean that you won't suffer for that sin. That's what people don't understand about this message of grace. They feel like when we say that your sins is washed away, that we just saying you can go sin. Oh, no, you can't. You're going to pay for your sins, all of them, every single one of them. But the Most High don't hold it from you in terms of you approaching him. You can approach him at any time and say, Father, and he's there for you, speaking to you through the Holy Spirit that has been poured out upon the earth. This is my belief. This is what we teach. This is the first message we taught again. Again, it's called Righteousness is a Gift. Righteousness is a gift, and it's not something you can work for. It's a gift. The faith, the Bible says when we have faith. Now, I just talked about us being able to approach the Most High. Now I'm going to switch gears real quick, and I'm just talking. I'm just sharing, okay? Appreciate you hanging on the line with me while I share these things. Now, I just talked about how that you can enter into the Holy of Holies and talk to your Father. That's the Bible. But then also, once the Father says, now I want to talk about righteousness, okay? I want to talk about righteousness. The Bible says, excuse me, again, I'm just having a... Not one of my better days, I apologize. But Bible says that Abraham, because of his faith, the Most High would not impute sin unto him because of his faith. Because of his faith. Because of his faith. Blessed is the man whom the Most High will not impute sin. What does it mean to impute sin? To hold it against him. To hold it against him. In other words, to where he'll need to offer up sacrifices for it. The Bible says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not, well, I mean, let me back up, I just said it right the first time. and I need to be turning the scriptures on this. Y'all have to bear with me. I didn't mean to this. Sometime we get into the conversation, I didn't know we was even going to be talking about Abraham. But it goes on to say, and many of y'all know these scriptures, it talks about blessed is the man who the Lord will not impute sin. It was talking about Father Abraham. Well, Abraham was the first one on what they call the first fruit. We ought to walk in that same belief system. In other words, as we believe in the Messiah, okay, and that's not something we can do in our own efforts, Brother Gabriel. We got to have that faith that we have to believe in the Messiah is given to us. The Father says, no man coming unto me unless he draw them. So as you seek the Most High, he'll draw you and give you this faith to believe in the Messiah. This is why so many people out here experiment with different religions, because they haven't been drawn by the Most High to even accept Christ. You have to be first drew. It's like a magnet. He has to draw you, and he gives you this faith to believe. It's a gift. And that faith to believe in the Messiah and what he preached, that faith that you get as a gift, it just comes from nowhere. You just believe. You just all of a sudden you didn't believe one day, and the next day you just believe it. That is a gift, and that faith is counted as righteousness. That faith is counted as righteous. These are the righteous people on the planet, those that have the faith in the Most High. Remember, I played this song sometime at the beginning of my show. It says, the just shall live by faith. Maybe I'll end it with that song, but that's what that song is all about. The righteousness. We're made righteous because of faith. You know, it has nothing to do with whether or not you slap your wife. Not saying you should ever, ever in a billion years slap anybody. But I'm saying, this righteousness is not something. It's a gift. I don't know how to explain it. A gift is a gift. Somebody hand you something, that's a gift. If you got to work for it, that's not a gift. Righteousness is just a gift that came through Christ. Once we believe, we're made righteous. I mean, as righteous as the Most High himself. That's what make us believers. That's why they call us believers. So many people is out here trying to work for their rights. They go to church, they do this, they do that, they give to the poor. And that all is something you should be doing. If he made us clean, why shouldn't you be doing clean things? But we can't get clean on our own efforts. We have got to have it given to us. Righteousness has to be given to us. Righteousness has to be given to us. It's not something we can work for. The Bible says your best efforts to the Most High is as filthy rags. So somebody has to actually literally come and give us righteousness, like somebody handing you a gift. And as long as you hold to that gift, you are as righteous as the Most High. That's the whole purpose of Christ coming, that we may be given the gift of righteousness. And that's what the scripture says. But anyway, my brother, are you feeling me at all, disagreeing, don't see it, fuzzy? Talk to me. Are you there? Brother Gabriel, I think I lost him. I did. I'm sorry, I think I lost you. Some kind of way, did you hang up and call back?
Can you hear me?
I hear you now, but did
Hello?
You hang up and call back? Were you disconnected?
No,
I
got hung up somehow.
Okay. Was you hearing me what I just said the last 4 minutes?
Yeah, I only was hung up for like 30 seconds. Yeah, I heard you though.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing about righteousness. A lot of people don't understand righteousness. We all try to work for our righteousness. And Moses, as great as he was, his righteousness was his filthy rags. I mean, that's something to think about. Moses, Elijah, all of those people, they had to have righteousness given to them. So all I'm saying is, there's a lot, man. There's a lot. But listen, I'm going to close out this show. I've got 6 minutes, And I'm really, really, really drained, tired, and need to get some rest. And I just want to thank you for just hanging on there with me. We'll look forward to doing to race matters, racial matters, and solutions on Tuesday night. And then don't forget, we got the New World Order Watch Society on Thursday. I apologize. Those of y'all know me, you know I put a lot more to the show than I've done tonight. I'm thinking about even canceling this show we've done tonight just because it's been so, I've been so weak and not bringing the scriptures like I know them to bring it. What do you think about the show tonight, my brother? Talk to me.
Well, even in half the spirit, you still could edify people. So if they listening, I'm pretty sure it's getting edified. So it was a blessing to, if you help save one, you did with your purpose. That's what I learned. You can come at 2,000 and only two will hear you. Those are the two you had that had to be heard. I mean, they had to hear you. So that's what you did. That
well,
you served your purpose.
The thing that the reason why I said, I mean, because there's a lot of people that listen to this show, and they're listening to it for a specific reason. And if we don't hit that specific reason, a lot of people are sad or they're not fulfilled. So, Jocelyn say, no, don't cancel the show. There is a message for others. So I won't cancel it, but it just was, man, y'all just don't know how I'm feeling. But like I say, sometimes the word is what carries. And this brother said, don't cancel the show. He said, it's a message, and just like you just said. So we won't cancel it. But I just feel a little bit bad because I like to do my shows, do research before the show, be sometimes I even eat, you know, or sometimes I sleep before the show because I really want people to be blessed. I love people. I mean, I honestly love people. I never met somebody that convinced me to hate them. Some people I don't want to be around because it gets too wicked. But hatred, that's a whole nother level. So I want to just share what the Most High has given me. Yeah, anything that worked in my life, and it ain't every area in your life. There's some areas in my life where I can't talk about, you know, because I struggle. And I don't talk about it because I struggle. I mean, I won't be preaching about something I'm no good at. That's crazy. But anything I've found that worked for me, I want to share with other people. And that's what I try to do with the Five Smooth Stone. Because I'm telling you, these five topics have taken me onto 24 countries. I know it's because of the message that I did that traveling. And it's more than just the traveling. It's who I've met, the experiences. And I just want to share that. And I want to also get whoever wants to share from similar things that they went through. Because Brother Jocelyn have something to say. You have something to say. I am Epic, who always on the show. I know she had to go earlier tonight. But these folks, all of y'all have something to say. And I really listen to y'all. Y'all may think I ain't listening to you. Comments in the chat room, but I listen and I think about it in the course of my day, you know, because I think y'all really, 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 y'all the real deal. You wouldn't be able to. No. I just got a warning that I got 90 seconds. Everybody, I got to go ahead and wrap this up. I got 90 seconds and everything on the internet is going to cut off anyway, except the people on the phone line. So I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up the show with another great song, and I just want to thank y'all for listening, okay? Brother Jocelyn, you really encouraged me tonight, and you, Brother Gabriel, appreciate it. Okay, Brother Gabriel, you got anything to say in like 5 seconds before I go to the last song, because we're about to go, we're going to go bleep in about 60 seconds, so you got anything?
Kawala to the Most High, and a blessing to everybody that can hear me and that can't hear me.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks again, my brother. You are appreciate you stopping by, and I'm going to go ahead and meet you. So that was Brother Gabriel, y'all. He was so kind to just chat with me. But anyway, we're going to go out with this song as much as it if you can hear, okay? All right, so thank y'all for listening.
check it out, y'all. I'm tired and I wanna give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why's the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now. If you're a survivor, get up. Let's get it.
Depression and fear.